You can still catch the old sitcom Cheers on reruns. How many of you have ever watched Cheers? Yep, that's a pretty good representation. Well, as many of you know, Cheers is this show about deeply flawed but ultimately lovable characters that congregate regularly at a local bar in Boston. And they insult each other. They pick on each other. They hurt each other's feelings regularly. But they also come to care about each other in some real, but okay, kind of quirky ways. And Cheers has this very catchy, very singable title song. I bet some of you remember the lyrics of this song. Here they are. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You want to go where people know people are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. That song articulates a fundamental need found in every human being, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not. It's the need to belong. Everybody needs to be known and loved and appreciated by other people. But here's something that bothers me. Many people do not consider a local church like Carl Road Baptist Church to be the place where they can have that need to belong met. They don't see the local church as the best place to receive acceptance, encouragement, appreciation. Instead, it may be the local bar, like in the show Cheers. Or it might be a civic club or that group of parents that you hang out with on your kids' athletic team or the school's PTO organization or a group of friends at work. And there's nothing wrong with any of those groups, don't get me wrong. But when they become the primary vehicle to meet the need for belonging that God has put within you, there's a problem. After your family, God has always intended for your need to belong to be met primarily in and through his church, a local expression of his presence and his grace and his love. Well, last Sunday we began this month-long consideration of our new mission and vision, and we're calling it Mission Possible. And I'd like to just take a moment to recite our new mission statement together. We're not saying it's the Bible or it's inspired or anything, folks, but this is just one way for you to get familiar with it, is if we just say it together on occasion. So let's recite that together, shall we? We seek to glorify God by building a family of believers passionate about him, where people are loved the way they are, urged to become more like Christ, and equipped to share Christ in word and deed. And last week, we considered the target, really the first part of that statement, which is the goal or the bottom line of our church as we move forward. Very simply, it's the glory of God. The glory of God. And today, and then the next two Sundays, I want to explore with you three tools to help us reach that goal of glorifying God together. We call them belonging, becoming, and building. And today I want to focus with you on belonging. And it's expressed in the next phrase in that mission statement, where people are loved the way they are. Where people are loved the way they are. If we can practice and if we can promote a godly sense of belonging, it will be one way to bring glory to God or give glory to God. Belonging is one tool to help us hit that target, God's glory. Well, I want to read a scripture with you today, and that's found in the book of Acts. And I'd ask that you turn there with me in your Bible, or if you don't have a Bible with you, please use one of those blue pew Bibles, hopefully in the pew rack in front of you, and turn to the appropriate page number there. And let's just read that scripture. Let me read it and you listen and follow along in your Bible. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. It says, they, well, who's they? Well, they are the very first Christians, really the first local church that was ever established. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now that's a snapshot of the very first local church that ever existed. And it was started in the city of Jerusalem just shortly before Jesus went back up into heaven. And that passage tells us that those first followers of Jesus devoted themselves to four expressions of their faith. It's right there in verse 42. Look at it again. They devoted themselves, it says, to teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which was sort of a combination of a potluck supper and the Lord's Supper in one event. And they also devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to fellowship. And you could translate that word fellowship just as faithfully. They devoted themselves to belonging. And that's the phrase, the concept that I want you to think about with me today. How can a church create and promote and practice belonging? Well, first of all, I believe that belonging demands intentionality. It demands intentionality. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to belonging. You know, that word devoted describes it's a strong word. It means a conscious choice. It means a deliberate decision. Jesus used that same word when he explained the kind of single-minded commitment to God that you need to have. I just want you to see how that same word is used by Jesus in another context. He says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And that word devoted then, same word as in Acts 2:42, it carries with it the idea of intentionality. Of purpose, of effort, doesn't it? And when you devote yourself to do something, you set your mind and your heart to do it, and it affects your behavior and your choices and how you spend your time, everything. Devoted. And for the members of that first local church, that meant getting together to praise God. It meant making sure everybody's needs were met. It meant learning about what it meant to follow Jesus. It meant praying together. It meant encouraging one another. They were devoted to belonging. Not something you just kind of do. Got to be devoted to it. And that scripture, and my own experience as a pastor now for, hard to believe this, 30 years, leads me to a conclusion that I defy you to disprove. What's that? Belonging doesn't just happen in any local church. A sense of strong and relational and spiritual community doesn't just create itself spontaneously or magically. There has to be a sense of intentionality in a variety of ways if that need to belong is going to get met. For example, let me just talk about it from a church perspective. A church has got to deliberately create structures where belonging can happen. Intentionality is needed because belonging demands structures. And it's my belief that our church has done pretty well in that area historically. How so? Well, our Sunday morning adult Bible classes have been and still are one of the strongest areas of our church's life and ministry. Some of our classes have been together now for decades. And a strong sense of belonging is present in those classes. And more recently, we've seen several strong small groups that meet in people's homes begin to emerge. And I, for one, am convinced that we need to think about creating new classes and some on Sundays and some new small groups. Why? Well, simply because it's easier to get new people to join new classes or new groups than existing ones. You always sort of feel like you're the new kid on the block. We need new classes and new groups. And that may well be a ministry area for you to consider. What's that? Teaching a new Sunday school class? Maybe leading a new small group? And in addition, any group in the church that exists to perform a specific ministry. It could be the choir. It could be our Wednesday night clubs. It could be the Tuesday morning work team. It might end up being even that new sensory break room and the people who work in it that we heard about today is another structure where the need to belong can be met. It's another place for people to get to know you and for you to get to know other people. The song goes, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You want to be where everybody knows your name. And I'm not sure there is a better structure to promote belonging than a Sunday adult Bible class, a small group, or a group that exists to provide a specific ministry to the community or to the church family in some way. Now, intentionality is needed because belonging demands something else. It demands effort. Demands effort. And belonging, again, doesn't just happen. And with effort, folks, it also involves personal initiative on your part, not on my part. So let me ask you, are you in a Sunday school class? Are you a part of a small group? Are you involved in any kind of a ministry team of people who get together to do ministry regularly in some way, shape, or form? You see, this church can be intentional by creating all these wonderful opportunities for you to get connected and have a strong sense of belonging. But creating a culture of belonging has got to work in both directions. You've got to do something too on your end. This church has got to do some stuff, and you have to do some stuff. And my friend, if you never take the initiative to join a Sunday school class or a small group or a ministry team doing some kind of good work in the community or in the church, you will never feel like you belong. And I'll make a prediction today. Let's say you've been coming to this worship service for 6 months or more, but that's all you have to do. You know, you're not in a Sunday school class, there's no small group, there's no ministry group involvement. Here's what happens in most cases. I'm not saying it happens in every person's case, but it does happen in the majority of cases. You're going to drop out. You're going to start attending another church. And after a while, you see, most people start thinking like this. They come just to worship. And that's all they experience of the church. And they say, you know, I'm starting not to get much out of Carl Road Baptist Church anymore. Pastor Rick's sermons are all starting to sound the same. Music's starting to sound the same. I'd be surprised if there is anybody at Carl Road Baptist Church that even knows my name. And I want to say to you, I hope it's divinely inspired, well, duh. What do you expect? What do you expect? There has to be effort on your part to get connected. Well, intentionality has some other personal dimensions as well. For instance, belonging happens when you offer encouragement intentionally. You. The Bible says, so encourage each other and build each other up. Folks, I can tell you that every Sunday, discouraged people walk into this building. Because we live in a discouraging world, a world that constantly reminds you of all the ways that you don't measure up. And encouragement doesn't just happen. It requires intentional effort by people. And God is glorified when you offer someone a warm smile, an affirming hug, an uplifting word, maybe later on in the day a thoughtful email. Even in the hallways or the sanctuary or a Sunday school class, even if you just take that person aside and you have a brief prayer with them asking God to help them face whatever discouragement they're dealing with. Who are you encouraging? All of us have read or seen something about the Special Olympics, those athletic contests for special needs people. Something very special indeed happened at a recent one. The event was the 100-meter dash. And the race started, and about halfway down the finish line, one of the participants tripped and fell on the track. And every single one of those other runners stopped, gathered around their fallen comrade, picked him up, and then all together as a group, they crossed the finish line. Now, those special people have something to teach us in the body of Christ, don't they? How to be encouraging. It takes effort to be encouraging, personal effort. But belonging depends on it. A belonging happens when you offer acceptance intentionally. Acceptance. Here's what the Bible says. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Folks, let's just remind ourselves of something that we already know. People are going to be different than you. Some people are going to have different ideas on how to do ministry. We just had an example of that this morning. Some people want a certain building project. Some people don't. We're going to be different. Different people are going to have different worship preferences. What a shock that is. People are going to have different priorities spiritually. And there's other kinds of differences. Other people may well be coming out of pretty rough backgrounds morally. You may have been raised in a Christian home and had godly parents, and if you did, God bless you. There is no greater gift than having that. But other people that come to the Lord, they come out of very rough backgrounds. And they may say or do things that don't sound or look very Christ-like at times. Deal with it. Cut them a break. After all, we put up with you. And I'm not suggesting for one moment that we condone sinful lifestyles. That's not what I'm talking about. But neither should we withdraw from people simply because there is an ongoing struggle with sin in their lives. Don't you have that as well? God is doing some chipping and shaping on all of us and in all of us, some more than others to be sure, but each of us is a saint in the making, last time I checked. And it takes effort to be accepting. But belonging depends on it. So who are you accepting? Belonging happens when you offer service intentionally. Service. Here's what the Bible says. Therefore, whenever you have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. You know, taking a turn on a Sunday during the service to work with our kids, or maybe tutoring a child on Tuesday nights, after school club starting up, right, Linda, pretty soon? Visiting one of our shut-ins, running the sound or the video projection, praying faithfully for the church and its leaders. They're all ways to serve. And of course it takes effort to serve. But belonging depends on it. So again, I'm going to ask you, who are you serving? Are you serving? How can a church create, promote, and practice belonging? Well, belonging demands intentionality on the part of the church and on the part of you as well. But here's something else that I want to say. Belonging demands inclusiveness. Not just intentionality, but also inclusiveness. You know, the first Christians struggled mightily in this area. You know, sometimes you hear people talk about the early church or the first church, and it sounds like they were all perfect and did everything the right way. Folks, they were a mess. They were as much a mess as we are. And when the Apostle Paul wrote these words, he says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He was referring to three major ways that they were excluding one another. How so? Well, most of the first Christians were ethnic Jews. And they had been taught to despise and stay away from non-Jews. And then thousands upon thousands of non-Jews began to follow Jesus, and the local church didn't look or feel Jewish much anymore. Tension. The first Christians lived in a world where many people were bought and sold as slaves, and both free people and slaves began to follow Jesus, and so an obvious socioeconomic gap existed between free people and slaves, but now they were all part of the same local church. More tension. The first Christians lived in a world where women weren't considered equal with men by any stretch of the imagination. And before very long, gender issues began to rise to the surface as Christians struggled with how being male or female affected belonging in the local church. Even more tension. And even the first Christian leaders had to learn and they had to relearn what it meant to be inclusive. Peter, the leader among the original disciples of Jesus, well, he had to get a special literal vision from God to prepare him to share the message about Jesus with non-Jews. Peter wasn't going to go there on his own. I mean, he had to learn that because every person is made by God, he or she has intrinsically eternal value and worth to God. And Peter articulated what he learned when he said this. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. The message is sent to the children of Israel that through Jesus Christ, everything is being put together again. Well, he's doing it everywhere among everyone. Peter got it, finally. God plays no favorites. Makes no difference who you are and where you come from. No one created by God and who is following Jesus is to be excluded from the community of God's people in the local church. Well, does Carl Road Baptist Church struggle with being inclusive? Well, sure we do. And we will, just like the first Christians did, just like any local church will. You know, one of the things that I do love about this church is its diversity. I think it's something that we should celebrate, frankly. Well, in what ways? Well, let me point out some differences that I think are pretty obvious, but just to underline them again. We have an incredible age range in this church. And sometimes differences in age and life and experience can cause tension. We have a tremendous spread in ages. We have a growing ethnic and racial diversity. We have married people. We also have many single people. We have people who have walked with Jesus for decades and people who have just recently received him as Lord and Savior. We have an increasingly broad range of people in terms of socioeconomic and educational factors. And I believe that that's diversity to be celebrated. But it's also true that it creates a kind of a pressure or a tension that we need to be aware of if a strong sense of belonging is going to continue to prevail. If our church is going to reflect our surrounding community demographically, the number of African American, Hispanic, and Asian members is going to increase. Frankly, I welcome that change. I hope you do as well. But are you going to be as open and welcoming to a member of a different race as you are to someone of your own ethnicity? Are you as open and welcoming to someone from a different level than you financially, educationally, or socially? Or if someone is not on the same level as you are in terms of biblical knowledge and understanding, is there a tendency to kind of marginalize him or her? Let's face the fact that there is something in all of us that craves being with people who are just like us. It's not God's priority. That needs to be taken to the cross and nailed there. Because it's not a priority of God. Our oneness in Jesus should so eclipse any and every other distinction that nothing else matters. Now, I hasten to clarify what the Bible means by diversity, however. Because, you know, at present, our culture is in love with the idea of tolerance and diversity. And our culture defines diversity as the ability to tolerate any behavior, any lifestyle, regardless. And it refuses to identify much of anything as sinful or self-destructive or unacceptable to God. That is not biblical diversity. That's simply an invitation to moral and spiritual chaos. I like how the late Catholic bishop Fulton Sheen put it. Tolerance applies only to persons, but never to truth. Intolerance applies only to truth, but never to persons. Tolerance applies to the erring, intolerance to the error. That's good, isn't it? That's a good biblical distinction. Author Philip Yancey writes about a prostitute in Chicago. She was down and out. She was sick and homeless. She was unable to buy food for her two-year-old daughter. She had sunk to the lowest imaginable levels, doing things that she never thought she would do just in order to earn money to survive. She was desperate. She was looking for help and encouragement. A friend of Yancey's asked her if she'd thought of going to a church for help, and a look of pure shock crossed that woman's face, and she said, "Church? Church? Why would I ever go there? I already feel terrible about myself. They'd just make me feel worse." Well, I don't think that's true of every church, but sadly, there are some places where that would be true. And true and biblical inclusiveness is all about loving every sinner while hating every sin. But sometimes we Christians, and let's just be frank about that, we have a hard time getting that balance right. And getting it right and keeping it right is a key to creating a spiritual culture of belonging in a local church. So, folks, when we use that word inclusive, or as our mission statement says, loving people the way we are, we're not talking about condoning sin in any way, shape, or form. No, what instead we have to learn how to do as a congregation is to communicate a message of belonging to everyone through both our words and our actions. And, folks, it needs to sound and it needs to feel something like this. Look, you are a person of eternal worth and value to God. And we will never condone, we will never bless sinful, self-destructive behavior in life, but we will always love you. We're not perfect either. This is not a museum for perfect people where we just kind of go around and polish each other up. This is a hospital for spiritually sick people. And we all sin and fail too. And we need the grace of Jesus just as much as you do. And you are always welcome at Carl Road Baptist Church. Come and meet Jesus here. Come and get spiritually healthy here. Come and let the Holy Spirit transform and change you here to the glory of God. Belonging demands inclusiveness. Well, I want to close today's message by having us all watch a video clip together. And it's just a short but effective reminder that a lot of negative and sinful and discouraging messages are being sent to all of us all the time. And ultimately, it is only Jesus and what he's done for you and me at the cross and at the empty tomb that can bring spiritual healing and a restored sense of belonging. And then after we watch this video, I want to share with you how you're going to help me today and help our church continue to grow and develop in the area of belonging. But first, let's watch this video, and then I have something I want to share with you.
I was shattered by the fall, broken and forgotten, feeling lost and all alone. Summoned by the King into the Master's courts, lifted by the Savior and cradled in his arms. I was carried to the table. Good enough to share this cup. This world has left me lame. Even in my weakness, the Savior called my name. In His holy presence, I'm healed and unashamed.
It's at the cross of Jesus that that need to belong gets fundamentally met. But it's the job of the church and the job of each of us as individuals to offer that gift of belonging to one another. In your bulletin today is a card. I want you to pull it out. I want you to get it out just now, because we're actually going to do some work in our worship service today. Okay, I want you to pull it out. And We want to provide you, when I speak of we, I'm talking about our long-range planning team. We want to provide you an opportunity to get some personal feedback. And you'll see that there are two questions there. Where, how do you see our church already fulfilling our vision to practice belonging? And where, or how do you envision our church developing new ways to practice belonging in the future? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you literally 3 minutes to fill that out in just a couple of moments, okay? And we want to hear from you. And then after closing prayer, I don't want you just to stick this somewhere and put it on your seat. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that vision card out with you to the lobby. And out in the middle of the lobby, you probably already know there's this big whiteboard out there with posters on it that say belonging and becoming and building. And we're going to have some members of our long-range ministry team there. And they're going to hand you some of that Plastitac or hand attack, or I just call it stick'em, whatever you call it, just a little rubbery stuff. And I want you just to slap it on the back of that vision card and put it on that whiteboard. Well, then what's going to happen? Well, we're just going to collect these, and I can assure you that the long-range planning ministry team is going to read and consider every one of those cards, every one of those suggestions. Folks, if we're going to accomplish this mission, It's not going to be because Pastor Rick does it. It's not going to be if just the long-range planning ministry team does it. It's only going to happen if the entire congregation is involved in it and is participating in making it happen. And so we want your feedback. We want your thoughts. Now, realize you may not have brought a pen or a pencil in with you to the sanctuary, so I'm going to ask our ushers to stand. And if you need a pencil or to fill that information out, would you just raise your hand and ask for that, and they'll be happy to hand that out to anybody that needs a pen or a pencil. Just go ahead and raise your hand, and they'll make sure that you get one, okay? And we'll take just a moment. So I'm gonna look at my watch right now, and starting right now, we're going to do 3 minutes, and we're going to ask that you fill that out. All right, here we go. We're started. All right, thank you. All right, now, The pencils that you received, just put those on the seats next to you and we'll pick them up after the service. What are you going to do to the vision card? I hear some confusion. You're not going to give it to me. You're not going to leave it on the pew. You're going to go out into the lobby, and you're going to hand it to a member of our long-range ministry team. I'm going to ask those individuals. You know who you are. Just head on back there and be ready to go. They're going to give you a little piece of stickum. You put it on the back of that card and slap it up on the whiteboard. Okay? So that's your task as you leave our service today. All right. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for a great morning and the opportunity, Lord, hopefully to be challenged again about what it means to belong and to be a belonging people as a church and as individuals. Father, that's where we want to go. We realize that we've got a long way to go, but we're motivated. We want to do this, and we believe and we know that your Holy Spirit's going to give us the energy and the strength and the guidance and the help that we need to get there. So we do ask for that in the name of Jesus this morning. In his name we pray. Amen.